It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and start reading from verse 19.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
These both, who are both Antichrist and the false prophet, they will be cast into the lake of fire, and the fire will be burning for eternity. Antichrist and the false prophet, beast is called Antichrist, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Where this devil will be cast out? Where the beast was Antichrist and the false prophets, they were already in hell. And then the devil also will be cast there in the lake of fire and will be burning forever and ever, means eternity. So only Jesus Christ is the strongest man than any devil on earth. So he is trying to say, don't tell me I am casting out the devil with the power of devil. I have more power than any devil on earth. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 23.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth.
He says, if you are with Jesus Christ, you will gather. What are you gathering? You're gathering the souls. You're gathering the blessings of God. But if you're not with him, you're losing it. So only we can win through Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we have no power. With Christ, we can do everything. That's why St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We can do all things means all things. There is nothing impossible for the children of God. We are going to get stronger and stronger, and there will be a great revival before Jesus Christ comes. Then the church will be gone, and the Antichrist, false prophets, and the devil will make this world as a hell. You be with Christ, then you gather. Our job is to gather souls for Christ. Don't be selfish. So here the word of God is saying, we have to be in Jesus' side. Then the devil has no power over us. Verse 24.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Somebody says, I don't understand, but this is talking about the person who got saved, born again. The devil is cast out. The evil spirit is out. The evil work is out. So now this building, this temple is clean and holy. We should be worshiping God. We should be thanking God and glorifying God because now you are born again. But the people sometimes, they walk in the Lord for a while, and the trials and temptations and the world's crisis comes, and they give up on God and then walk away from God. Then the devil says, now I'm going to come back. And he comes back. He doesn't come alone then. He brings seven evil demons worse than him and make that man's stage worse than before. And so that's what the word of God is saying. If you are born again and you became backslidden, then you will have more punishment. That's why some denomination, they don't want to hear that. They said, oh, if the person is born again and he's backslidden, first of all, they don't use the word backslidden. They said there is no backslidden in the Word of God. But I can tell them so many places. But what they are trying to say, once you are born again, you saved forever. And you are not going to lose your salvation. And if somebody really, really in sin, and you point out that person, do you think this person is still born again? Then they will say, oh, he was never saved. That's misleading. The Bible doesn't teach that. Bible says people can be backslidden. Let's go to the 2 Peter chapter 2 and start reading from verse 20.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
What happened to these people? They gave up the worldly desires. They became Christian. They followed the Christ. And then what happened? They tangled again in the worldly system. That means they gave up the world, followed the Christ. Now they are saying, I don't want Christ. And they tangled again in the world system. That means now they are not walking with Christ. They don't want Christianity. They don't want any spirituality. And they are going back to the world. And so he says, now their stage is worse than the beginning. Just like it says that there have one demon before when they came to Christ. Now when they back to the world, they got seven demons. And some people say, what happened to me? Because now they have no protection. God is not protecting them because they are in the devil's hand. So read following verse.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
He said it was better for these people never to come to Christ. Then somebody says, then we should not be preaching the gospel to other people because they will have more punishment. No, we are trying to bring them from the hellfire. But here the word of God is saying, if you never told anybody about Jesus Christ, that person will go to hell. But the person who knew Christ and he became backslidden, he will go to hell, but he will have double punishment. How? If somebody does the crime unknowingly, he has a lesser punishment. And somebody does the crime purposely, that person has a double punishment. And he's giving another example. Please read the verse 22.
But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Dog goes to vomit, means and eats back. Pig goes washed and goes back to the dirt and mire. And that's the condition happened to the backslidden people. It was good for them not knowing Christ. Now knowing Christ and going back to the world, you will have greater punishment. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 27.
And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Now here one lady comes and says to Jesus, you know what? The lady who gave you birth, she is blessed. He did not say she is not blessed. He said, yes, she is blessed. But the who are more blessed, who hears my word and keep the word, or do it according to my word, those people are more blessed. God can make children from the stone. The worldly people just have mother. They say Mother Earth. Anything happened, Mother Earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit took the mud, took the dust, and made the first man. There was no mother. So the point Jesus Christ is saying, who is my mother? Who listens to the word of God and who do accordingly. If you read in the book of Acts, Mary, mother of Jesus, waited in the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit. And Mary, mother of Jesus, when Jesus Christ was risen, she fell down on her face, touched Jesus' feet, and worshipped him. That's why she had chance to go to heaven, not because giving the birth to Christ. Chapter 11, starting from verse 29.
And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation, and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And, behold, a greater than Solomon is here."
When he healed the demonic person who was even mute, when he cast the demon out, the people will start saying to him, "You are casting the demons with a Beelzebul's authority." So they wanted to have some kind of sign. How can we know that you are doing this according to the will of God? So here Jesus Christ is saying to these people, all these people are evil generation. And the evil generation ask for the sign. So he said, you will not get any sign from me, but you will have the sign like a sign of the prophet Jonah. You read in the book of Jonah, when Jonah disobeyed God, he was thrown into the sea, and the big fish came, swallowed the Jonah. And he was in the fish belly for 3 days and three nights. And he repented and he asked God, "If you take me out of the fish belly, I will go to Nineveh and I'll preach." And so after 3 days, the fish vomited him and he came out. Then the word of God came to him and he said, "I'm going to go to Nineveh to preach." The Jonah was 3 days and three nights in fish belly. So he says, that will be the sign. They will crucify me. I will be in the earth for the 3 days and three nights. And then I will be resurrected. That will be sign to you. So that sign might be a greater than the Jonah sign. Jonah was not killed in the fish belly. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. And after 3 days, he was risen. Jesus said in book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. He says, "I was dead. But now I am alive forevermore." So he said that will be the sign to this evil generation. And he says the greater than Jonah is here. Jesus Christ was trying to tell these people, you do not understand my coming. You do not understand my message. You do not understand my work. But the one day you will be judged. And that's what he was trying to say. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 33.
No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light.
The light should be shining in the dark places. You cannot take the light and keep it in secret place and nobody knows where the light is. Otherwise, he said, nobody will take the light and put it under the bushel. If you have the light, your light should be shining. Let the whole world know that you are the light. Verse 34.
The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness.
Now here is comparing to the light to your eyes. Your eyes gives you light. Without eyes, we will not have the knowledge. When you read, when you see, you get the knowledge through the eyes. So the eyes, not only giving you wisdom and knowledge, keeps you holy. If you keep your eyes pure, he says, then your whole body will be light. So the word of God is saying, keep your eyes single or holy. If your eyes are holy, then your whole body will be holy. Otherwise, your whole body will be full of darkness. He's talking about the spiritual darkness. That's why our eyes should be sanctified. And so our eyes is giving light and life to our body. God has given our eyes to glorify God. And so here the word of God is saying, if your eyes are evil, then your body or your life will be full of darkness. Verse 35.
Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light.
So what we need, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he gives life to each and every one of us. So once we dedicate our life to Jesus Christ comes in, the darkness goes out. Okay, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 37.
And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat.
So one Pharisee invited Jesus Christ, could you come to my house? Jesus Christ knew why this man was inviting, but he did not say, I'm not coming. Because Jesus Christ also was looking for opportunity to teach them the lesson and tell them the truth. 38, and then I'll explain.
And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner.
The Pharisee was watching Christ very carefully. There was a system or custom, when you go to somebody's house, you wash your hand certain ways. Now, Jesus maybe washed his hand not their ways, but here he's saying Jesus Christ did not wash his hand. Sounds like Jesus Christ was not a clean person. They said there was a custom, you have to wash your hand in certain ways. Jesus Christ might have just took the water and wiped it with his towel, and did not do the ritual. And so this man, he had no courage to ask Jesus, why you didn't wash your hands the way we washed, you just didn't do our ritual. That's what he was going to ask. But he didn't have the courage. Read the verse 39.
And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness.
Jesus Christ understood. This man wants to ask something, and he's not asking, but he's grumbling in his mind. And so Jesus Christ is God himself. He knew the thoughts of this man. He did not say to him, you are asking me about cleaning my hands, washing the way you wash. He is trying to say, you know what? You people clean everything from outside, but inside you keep everything dirty. So he says, inward part should be clean. Read the verse 40.
Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?
God, who made the outward part, he also made the inward part. And so the inward part is more important, which is our spirit. So he says, you do not concern about your spirit, you do not concern about your soul, but you are concerned about your body, outward body. Jesus Christ was saying, you people are doing all outward rituals to keep yourself clean, but you are full of wickedness, and you are all filthy inside. Verse 41.
But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
You give your tithes on you an herb, vegetable, and everything what you sell, you give tithe. And so he says, that's okay. But tithe is not important. Heart is important. If your heart is not right with God, your offering is no good. So what God wants? He wants your heart, not the money. Your heart is not right. Your heart is full of evil things. And then you are trying to give your tithes from even little things, and you are not understanding the will of God. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 43.
Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them.
You Pharisees, you need name and fame. You want people to salute you. You want people to say good about you. And that's why you are filled up with a pride that I am somebody. People should respect me. And that's what you're thinking. And he's saying, but your life is like a grave. And that grave is no tombstone there. Flat graves. And people are walking on those graves and they don't even know there is a dead body under their feet. That means he's saying, people do not know you, that you are so evil. You are so like a dead person, and people are walking and they don't know even there is a grave there. People even do not know what kind of work you are doing. And so people even do not know what your heart is, but God knows what kind of heart you have. Verse 45.
Then answered one of the lawyers, and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them.
Some lawyers came and say, are you telling us we are also bad? He was talking to Pharisees, and the lawyers sitting there say, you thinking we are also bad? He says, sure, you are also bad, because you know how to judge and judgment, but what you're doing, you putting the burden on people, and not even putting your finger means not helping them. And so that's the kind of life you are living. And he says, what you're doing, you're building the sepulchres, means grave, for the prophets which your father killed them. So what he's trying to say, your father killed the prophets. You would have said, you killed the prophet, and I'm sorry about it. And so you should not be killing them, but you approve them and make that grave so everybody knows somebody killed that prophet. So you're doing actually advertisement, or you're doing actually promoting what your parents did. So in short, he's trying to say your parents were evil and you are evil also. Let's read verse 48.
Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres.
So in short, he's trying to say, your fathers were evil, they killed the prophets, and now you making the tombs, so you're agreeing your fathers, forefathers, and you're doing the same thing. There is no change of heart in your life. verse 49.
Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute.
God is saying, I'm going to send more prophets, more apostles, for what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, all prophets you have killed. That means each and every prophet came into this world in the Old Testament, they were all killed by people.
That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation.
From Abel to Zechariah, all these prophets were killed. And God is saying, I'm going to send more people, and more prophets will be killed. And then the judgment will come. Okay, go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 52.
Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered.
You know the Bible. You know Bible laws. You know Bible teaching. And what you're doing, God has given you the key of the kingdom. So come to us. We have the knowledge. But he says, you have the key, you have the knowledge, but what you're trying to do, but you are hindrance to the people. That means you are not teaching the truth, you are misleading people, and they are going to go to hell. Even though you have the Bible, you know how many people, how many churches, they have the Bible, but they are not teaching the truth. So there are so many people knowing the truth, but they are not teaching other people. Because if they tell them, then they will be not staying with their denomination. We should know the truth. And the word of God said, truth shall set you free. But they are not using the keys to enter themselves. And if somebody wants to enter, he said, hey, don't go in. And so they don't go in, and they don't allow other people to go in. That's what he is trying to say. Okay, let's read the following verses. Verse 53.
And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him.
Jesus Christ says, Pharisees, woe to them, woe to the lawyers. And now they got so mad, and they start asking him all kinds of questions. And they wanted him to say something so they can catch him in his fault. But Jesus Christ was much smarter than anybody. He says, greater than the Solomon is here. That means you don't tell me that I'm doing something wrong. If the Solomon has that much wisdom, who gave him wisdom? God gave him wisdom. I'm the Son of God. I have all the wisdom, all the knowledge, and all the purity, and all the holiness you don't know. So they tried to trap him. They were not able to trap him in any situation.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.